the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Friday, May 17th, 2019. Or I should say, May the 4th. Pick.
Be with you.
Yes, exactly. We didn't even talk about the draft lottery on Monday.
No.
Right?
Because we just assumed, who cares? You know, as always, tanking will win.
Yes. The team that tanked in the weirdest way won.
Yeah, and I got a text from Casey late Tuesday night.
Yes.
With just a dancing purple and yellow, or I should say form blue and gold.
Yes.
Number four. And I was like, what's this?
Yes. What happened here? Why did this appear on
my phone? And you know what's funny is like the Laker greed and entitlement is you see that and you're like, yeah, but third would have been nice.
Third, oh man, this is a three-player draft.
We were probability-wise supposed to get the 11th pick.
Yeah.
But there were changes about how they did the probabilities.
Yes.
That were supposed to sort of address tanking.
Now no one has less than a 1% chance at the top pick. Mm-hmm. Right. So everybody gets. So there's like 1,000 combinations of
four-digit numbers,
and it's really just. There's like four digits that you get.
I believe like Atlanta was one number off of getting the number one pick.
Yes, they were.
But I mean, not all the 1,000 combinations are given out. Is that what it is?
That I believe is the case. So I think it's something like there is.
Because I was saying like
three balls that are picked, right? Uh-huh. And then the last ball. I don't know. The way it works out is there's 1,000 possibilities. That's a power of three, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that with the zeros, that means that there's 1,000 possibilities. Mm-hmm. So
I read like, Atlanta was one off. And then I was thinking like, well, wouldn't there be eight combinations that were one off of
the
four
digit? You know, actually, the more I'm talking about it, I'm like, I learned this sometime, and I don't know what it is
anymore. I believe that they actually did hand out all 1,000 combinations, because that would be the easiest to, like, keep your percentages straight.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason to make it 1,000.
But how do you get, I think you have to make it, like, 1,028 something.
Right. 1,024.
1,024.
It's a power of two.
Yeah, 1,024. You're right.
It doesn't matter.
My math is not good this morning.
You're a math major, right?
I mean, I was, you know. I'm a basketball major.
That's right. With a math minor.
Yeah.
So, yes, the Lakers moved up to number four. The New Orleans Pelicans got the number one pick.
They moved up as well. And the Memphis Grizzlies got the number two pick, and they moved up. And the Knicks moved sideways
to get
the number three pick.
But they also wanted, everybody wanted number one.
Everyone wants
number one. You know, the Lakers wanted number one, but it wasn't like really, even number four wasn't really like realistic.
No, nothing was realistic. There was a 9% chance. And Kyle Kuzma, he of the 9% three-point percentage.
Yes.
Here's the exciting thing is that the Lakers get to draft Merrick Garland, and we are all ready to go.
Mm-hmm. From the from not getting on the Supreme Court?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Merrick Garland is gonna play in the NBA. No, this guy's name is Darius Garland.
They should draft the guy in the Obama administration that played basketball,
Arnie Duncan.
Uh huh.
That's his name. He's played in many a All-Star celebrity game. Here's the real question: why don't the Lakers just pick Bol Bol?
I've heard that they should. Some people have said they should, but he's not even projected to be in the top 15 draft picks.
Yeah, but we were supposed to have 11 anyways.
That's true. Why don't we just pick the thing we were supposed to
pay him more money?
We can
trade back.
You know, they could also. Unfortunately, the number four pick seems to be the one pick that where like people are like, oh well, we don't know from four down, we have no idea what to do.
The very funny thing is that like, you know, the fourth pick is the one that will test the mettle of the organization the most.
And
now we get to see if Rob Pelinka and the vice president of basketball operations, who, if I'm checking the org chart, is a picture of Phil Jackson, then are they good at evaluating
talent? It's a series of text messages from Phil Jackson.
No, actually, it's probably just the scouting lead, Joey Buss.
Oh, boy.
Right? We get into more bus kids.
Did he... if he helped scout previous draft picks, then they've drafted pretty well.
They've drafted well. The Lakers have drafted well.
Also, Phil Jackson drafted Kristaps, right?
Porzingis.
So, you know,
I cannot remember if he drafted him or if he came in right afterwards. I think he drafted him.
On NBADraft.net, number four on the depth chart is Rui Hachimura. So it'd be cool. So Japanese player.
Yeah.
I believe he, I think he was born and played in Japan.
Yes. Maybe? Yeah. His father is Japanese and his mother's.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The top three are going to be Zion, Ja Morant, and RJ Barrett. I don't have feelings about it. You don't really watch college basketball?
No, I mean, I don't know anything other than that I've seen some cool Zion highlights.
Yeah.
And that RJ Barrett was supposed to be the number one, but he got fucking dunked on by Zion the whole basketball season.
Right, from his own team.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say, as usual, is that nobody knows shit. Everybody acts like these three guys are clearly the best three in the draft, and 2 years from now we're going to be like, oops. Yeah. Like,
what about a Bol Bol?
Yeah, he's going to be the steal of the draft for her. I mean, you know, if the Lakers feel so confident, trade back and get more assets. Thank you to Kyle Kuzma for being the good luck charm, just in time for him to be sent to New Orleans.
No, there's no way they're going to send anybody to New Orleans.
Sell high on Kuzma.
Yeah, yes, you want to sell high on Kuzma, but
I don't know. Did you see the article that like the owner of the Pelicans refuses? Yes. You know, as troubled as the Lakers organization can be, there are still worse franchises to be a part of.
Yeah, that's true.
The New Orleans,
any of Pelicans. The MLS franchises, or I don't know, like a Del Taco franchise owner.
Ooh, no, that's pretty good though. They just got the Impossible Burger.
Yeah,
for tacos.
For the Impossible Burger. For
the
tacos.
Impossible Burger meat.
The Impossible Taco.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who cares? I mean, it's probably just as bad for you as regular meat.
Mm. The 2015 NBA draft, these are the top three players, which, of course, everybody knew that these would be the top three players in 2015 NBA draft.
Karl Anthony Towns.
That's right. Turned out to be a good player.
Yes. Number two was...
Ooh. It was Lakers pick.
Oh, yeah. Brandon Ingram.
Mm-mm.
No, before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Russell.
Who is good.
Is good. And number three,
ooh,
from Duke to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Ooh.
Clearly the third best player in this
damn
draft.
Ja. Praise Ja.
Ja Lil
Okafor.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, and he's like barely in the league anymore. He's on the New Orleans Pelicans.
Is he really?
Yes, he is. Yeah,
and then
when they didn't have Davis anymore, they were like, who else is big?
Next is Kristaps, who, of course, is a good player, but, you know, just got beat up in
Latvia
for getting traded or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know why anyone gets beat up in Latvia. Also, like, where's Dr. Doom from? Latveria?
Livonia? Or is that a California town?
Livonia is not a place.
Livonia definitely is a place, but not a country.
Got it.
I
want Kristaps Porzingis to be more like Dr.
Latveria.
Graham. Latveria.
This is like the fictional country of Kumar in The West Wing.
Yes, exactly.
So anyway, good luck to your team if you have a different pick. Good luck to us. I have no idea if this makes it. See, people seem to be in disagreement about whether it makes it more or less likely that they get Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it matters.
It does. It does make the Lakers' assets for a trade better than they were.
Yes.
So that's just good in general.
But if the fourth pick and the 11th pick, we don't know who's going to go in which spot. If they're all equal, then is it actually better? Is the fourth pick maybe even worse because you have to pay them more for the salary?
Right.
Ugh, you know, I don't know.
So, anyway, I mean, we have all summer to talk about the draft lottery.
Draft lottery. Now we got real basketball to talk about.
Actual basketball.
Time to get in it.
How are you feeling about... We don't have to say goodbye to any teams.
No goodbyes, other than to the pride of the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, have you caught these two games?
I caught these games.
What
a classic Golden State... Let's turn it on late game.
Let's wait to wake up as long as possible. I guess this year it is going to work.
Yeah,
the whole year I've been saying, like, it's dangerous. I don't blah blah blah, and that, it's still working.
I mean, yes, it worked in this game because in the last 5 minutes of the game, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Ofers.
CJ McCollum at least seemed active.
Yeah.
Even though he was missing all of his shots.
Yeah.
Now, that was like if I have a note for CJ McCollum, it's maybe don't miss all of your shots. That would be a note that I would give.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. That's a good note. But, I'm gonna write that one down.
But he at least, I don't know, like, so it's funny because I was reading like game threads for it, and Blazers fans, because he wasn't hitting, they felt like he's hogging the ball. Why is he shooting so much? Whatever. And people were like, why are they going with CJ so much? And it's funny to like, to have this hindsight of, well, of course, if he misses all of shots, then you're going to be like, why do you shoot so much? But like, he also was taking shots. He hits a lot.
I actually got a memo from the Rockets that said that if things had gone their way, they wouldn't have missed any of those shots. They're guaranteed to get 1.1 shots per possession, so they would have won that game.
Yeah, actually, there was a play in the Trailblazers game where I thought of the Rockets because Lillard took a three-point shot that, you know, these contests that we've been talking about all postseason, and they didn't call it.
Yeah.
But then it bounced to maybe Miles Turner or
Rodney Hood,
maybe, yeah. And made a three-pointer.
Yes.
I was like,
that was the one at the end of the game.
That would be one where the Rockets would be like, you know, actually, we would have made the three free throws and we would have had three more seconds. And since we score 0.04 points per half second.
Yeah, truly the best way to measure how much you score.
Yeah. Then people are like, Lillard's injured. He must be injured. I don't know. I guess it's interesting from game five of OKC to what his postseason has been like past that point.
Yeah.
Has been interesting.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe he has still not quite figured out breaking down defenses. Remember, I mean, it was an issue last year.
Yeah, and I think that maybe if he didn't have a great game, but he did have a good couple of quarters.
Yeah.
Right? In the first half, he played well after the first quarter. In the second quarter, third quarter, he played well. It's so tough to praise somebody after they let what Golden State did happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think you got to credit Draymond and Steph in this game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Draymond was a monster. He was everywhere.
He's been a monster the whole playoffs.
Like, it's truly, like, he has been the second best player on the team in every game that they've played in, basically.
Yeah, that's true. Right? I mean, because there are lots of games where Steph and Clay were not playing well.
Yes. And Draymond has kept them in it. And, you know, I don't know if Draymond is enough to put them over by himself, but he's certainly the person that puts them over once they're at the top.
He is essentially right now like having an offensive coordinator on the floor,
yeah,
with you. And the thing is that he has these insane offensive weapons to unlock.
Yes.
Steph Clay, but also a dunking Kevon Looney.
Which, out of nowhere...
He's like the Clint Capella of 2019.
yes, but he's actually good at stuff.
I mean, Clint Capella was good at stuff
until he played the Warriors.
He was really good at rim running for a while.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, you get a big contract, it weighs down your pockets, and you can't rim run as much.
Well, you should be carrying the cash on the court.
Do they make pockets in NBA uniforms?
I don't know, but did you know that women's jeans don't have full pockets?
I do know that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Is that when did you learn that?
Thursday.
Okay, that's so funny. Like, that's such a gay, like, man not having to know, yes, this kind, uh-huh, of a thing. Because, like, every girl I've ever dated has just been so jealous of my just massive pockets.
Well, it also seems like a modern day form of foot binding or something.
Yeah.
Of like, here, you will be less capable than the other gender.
Yeah. And you're just, you have to carry around a purse.
Yeah.
And I've dated people who refuse to carry purses and just like carried everything in their hands all the time.
The idea of carrying around a bag of things that doesn't go around my sling around my shoulders.
Yeah.
That I have to like hunch up my shoulder to hold on to.
Yeah.
It's insane. But not as insane as Zach Collins' stat line in this game. I was upping Zach Collins for a little while because I was impressed by him.
And did he have a good game, Chris?
Well, he almost got a million.
1 million. Did he almost get 10 million?
He almost got 8 million.
Wow.
He played 8 minutes. He was 0-for-0 from the field. He got 0 rebounds, 0 assists.
And truly... And
5 fouls and 2 turnovers.
Truly, I mean, you needed somebody like Collins to basically... like zero out what Andrew Bogut was doing, which was getting one rebound and one assist and one personal foul.
Yeah, it's interesting how flows of team matchups just makes some players just unplayable.
Yeah,
in certain things, and it's I do think it's still interesting to see how, like, for some of these guys, particularly like Bogut.
Yeah,
the league is like has changed out from under his feet.
Yeah.
You know, when he came in, he was still a number one pick?
Yes. I believe? Yeah.
You know, he was still like a vital
number one pick for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right. So I don't know. I mean, I guess we can't cry about Andrew Bogut's life situation. He's probably fine.
He's fine. What I want to talk about from this game
was
how massively entertained I was by the Curry matchup.
Oh yeah.
That was so fun. Because one, Curry was really good at offense, and the other Curry was doing little brother pester shit the whole time, which was so, he got a lot of steals. Mm-hmm. He was just like picking Steph's pocket over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it was very funny.
It had a couple of steals that almost he poked it away, but it went out of bounds.
Yeah.
Like he could have ended that game with like 6 steals.
Yeah. Which is very crazy because I don't think anybody thinks of Seth Curry as like a defender extraordinaire,
no one thinks of Steph Curry as having a particularly vulnerable handle.
Yeah, but I mean,
except
maybe,
by somebody who's been playing with him like his entire life.
Yeah, that's so funny to me, and it was so fun to watch because it never really feels like you get the Lopez brothers together, and it's like, all right, well, they're both big men, but Robin wants to rebound and Brooke wants to shoot mid-range jumpers,
right.
And
Morris,
now this year
Morris
shoot
brothers.
Three-pointers. And they, like, hate playing against each other, famously. Right. Like, they've always wanted to be on the same team, and now they just aren't.
Right.
But this one felt fun. This one felt like, you know, it was like watching me and my brother play. And just, like, the dumb shit that we do to each other to get back at each other for stupid shit that we do in our front yard. We had a basketball hoop in our front yard and just, like, the smallest amount of concrete and, like, a little bit of grass. And we just do the dumbest shit to get back at each other. We were, like, shooting hoops or playing horse. Like, we'd play horse, and I perfected this shot where I would stand under the basket. And since I was tall and could lean back and had long arms, I would say, you have to shoot it from here. And I would lean back and hold my hand behind me and shoot. Oops. Yep. And not look where I was going and hit everything off the wall and shoot the ball in, and he was too small and too short.
You're leaning back out towards the
free throw line.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was an impossible shot for him to make based on the fact that he was just not as tall.
And he was not allowed to jump?
No jumping. Yeah, it was part of the horse rules. No jumping.
In general?
No. If you didn't jump,
right.
You know, you had to call it.
Yeah. What I enjoyed about this was that it was not actually... like to the detriment of the game flow overall.
No,
it was like, and they both, I mean, Seth actually played well.
Yes.
Like, so it's not,
he was the, I mean, the Currys together, won this game by, 23 points when they played.
You mean their plus minuses?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is like the weirdest and worst way to interpret that stat, but I just did it.
So I also enjoy the just pure enjoyment on the Curry parents' face.
Yeah,
they just are like enjoying the whole thing.
Yes, I mean, they also,
no matter
seem
who
a little
makes
stressed
a
out. I did see a couple of cuts where they were like had their hands on their head or they looked
right.
Worried.
Dell a lot of times had his hand on the. Is her name Sonia?
Sonia.
She was just laughing away.
Yeah, it was very
she was
funny.
Enjoying it. Currently on Reddit, like one of the like considered one of the hottest ladies in the sport right now.
Great.
There's just like consistent talk about how fine she is.
It is very weird to hear you talk about this subject.
it just comes up in the threads like all the time. How
people
pretty
on the internet are the fucking worst.
Yeah. No one talking about how pretty Dell is.
Well, I think there's a reason for that.
Did you watch game one?
I did watch game one.
Now, that was not super fun.
It was not. It was not super fun. That being said, it was still kind of indicative of how I thought the series was going to go.
Game one felt maybe like they just didn't have any time to practice or talk about the game.
That too. And maybe they were tired.
Yeah.
You know, right?
I'm sure they're tired.
Portland is beat up and, you know.
And they had an insanely long game in their last series.
I also don't think you can discount Enes Kanter's fasting as part of his
It's an inconvenient religion for NBA basketball.
Yes, it is. That being said, you know, when the games are at night, he's, you know, he can feed up beforehand and he can get up
early. Yeah, but it's like he's also, you know, what are the effects of he can like eat and not be hungry, but like he's also been like, so how long has it been? Like,
it's been like
2 weeks or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Akeem Olajuwon did this.
So, like, it's not that it can't be done, and he's doing everything that he can.
But there's no way that you were at optimal physical performance doing this.
No, I don't think so. At least, you know, if the game started a little later, you know, if sun was down a little earlier, maybe.
Yeah.
We're a little, but also, a little closer to the equator, maybe.
But again, it's also the flow of the game is just not going to be one that he can impact super much.
No, I mean, He only played 19 minutes in the last game.
Yeah.
And in game one, I think he only played a similar small amount.
I think what this series is going to come down to is just that like Lillard and McCollum have too much variance. They have more variance in their game than particularly Curry.
Yeah.
Klay has tons of variance in his game. I still don't think you should max him. but like Klay, Lillard, and McCollum sort of have the same ratio of like showing up for games.
Yeah.
They all put up stinkers at times. Yeah. Like in these playoffs, like within the last 10 days, they have all put up like just significantly bad game. Games.
Absolutely.
And the Warriors can survive that
because they've got players who show up like Curry and Draymond,
who is like flirting with a triple double almost every single game.
Yeah.
And fucking Iguodala, who I kind of want them to win. And he just retires, or like he's playing so well. And I want to say this about Lillard. Like, you know, last year I believe we were talking about how he was not able to handle double teams.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe it's fatigue, but like the fact that he got stripped on that last play. I mean, Iguodala is a great defender,
and he's great at that specific strip as well.
He's great at that specific strip. He's great at just like, I feel like you see him just being in people's space.
Yeah.
And just like, they're just not getting to dribble the way they want to dribble.
If Andre Iguodala was a character on Seinfeld, which character would he be?
Close talking
guy? Oh, yeah. 100%.
or high pitched talking guy.
Yeah, 1-2.
I don't know. I wonder if there's a possibility that a player like Lillard has just used like physical gifts of speed and agility to not necessarily, like, he's probably physically more gifted than Steph.
Okay.
Not counting the ability to shoot jumpers like
an
insane bird. But in terms of like, if they did a combine, he probably gets better combine scores than Steph.
Okay. Fair.
In fact, that's probably something I could look up.
Yeah.
So I wonder if his handle is like 10% not as good as Steph's.
That's a great question, and I don't know, because, you know, when one of the ways that this is kind of measured in the NBA, because it's really hard to measure like who has a better handle, is by peer review, right? And both of those guys are always up there at those lists that are like, who's got the best handles in the league? Kyrie, Steph, Dame, right? Those are the three guys that are always up at the top of the list. But handles are great, but it also takes a little bit more and like smarts to get around people and agility to move your body in the right way.
Right.
So there's a little bit of both, and you're right. It's felt that like Lillard has not had that in the same way that he had in that first series. So if he doesn't have it, he's got to be injured, right? That's the rule of things.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Who do you think's taller between these two guys?
Steph.
Steph is 0.25 inches taller.
Yeah. I knew that off the top of my head. It wasn't just a guess that I was very, very educated about.
Lillard weighs more.
Okay, or weighed more at the
combine. I would say I bet he still weighs more.
I don't know. I think they probably weigh about the same now.
I mean, they were close in it. Lillard has 4 more inches of wingspan.
Okay. I think Steph's probably grown into that.
Steph has 1 inch more of standing reach.
Okay.
And Steph has less body fat.
Great.
This combine, none of this is performative. What I want is performance information.
Yeah, as a combine, who has best handles? Who gets A on handles?
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the combine yesterday?
I did not.
I watched
the NBA draft combine. Is not something that I like. I don't put much stock in. But did you watch it?
I watched a little bit.
Don't a lot of the best players just not do it anymore?
Yes.
So did Zion do the combine?
He didn't do the parts that I watched. I don't think he did it at all. But,
oh.
You know.
I watched the NFL combine because that's hot. I like watching offensive linemen run around.
There we go.
In Under Armour.
That's what I'm talking about.
Victor
Cruz's secret
and then
catalog.
And then I never follow that sport again.
Yeah, of course.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the other series, maybe?
Yes. We had it feels like the first two games in the Golden State Portland series were kind of indicative of how those teams play, right?
Yes.
I feel like this game was also indicative of how I think this series is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Bucks started slow and then you saw it finally, like Thanos, they were inevitable.
Yes.
Right? they, in that third quarter, in the second half, they just absolutely took it to the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, like, they just chewed up Serge Ibaka and spit him out. Right?
Right.
Just like everyone does to Serge Ibaka's food on his absolutely fantastic YouTube
Yes,
show.
You asked me if I'd seen this. That's where I saw his interview with Kawhi.
Got it.
Where he asked him if he was going to stay.
Yeah.
I think one thing is that this Toronto team as assembled has just not been together very long.
Yeah.
So, you know, like they're just not like, it seems like a lot of what's happening in playoffs right now is just like, hey, can you be like at 80% consistency for 4 games? You'll probably win the series. Like Milwaukee's ability to sort of just, this sounds reductive, but just do what they do. Like, which has been winning basketball, the best record in the league for the... So just, like, go do what you do.
Yeah.
And then, like, sometimes you're going to lose. Like there might be flukes or whatever. But the team... It's like the teams that are just the best at, like, implementing what they are good at.
Yeah.
Win. And it almost... This playoffs almost feels, like, independent of what the other team is doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
It sometimes feels like... These teams that lose the games will just like kind of go away from what they're good at. And it's not clear why. Maybe it's fatigue.
Yeah.
Mental fatigue too.
Everyone is injured. Didn't you know this?
There's a lot of injuries. There are a lot of injuries. This year's playoffs seem actually pretty evenly distributed in terms of injuries.
Yeah.
And
it's
Golden
not
State,
just everybody who Golden State is playing is getting injured.
Exactly.
It's,
and
Golden
like,
State's getting injured as
and
well.
And Golden State is, you know, injuries obviously and luck is a factor in these playoff runs. So if they win the championship this year, you can certainly say that they've like overcome adversity to win it.
Yeah, definitely.
We got a good game out of Kyle Lowry.
We certainly did. It was the Kyle Lowry welcome to the playoffs game. and honestly, that's the reason that the Raptors won the game.
Right. That's because he took him over the top.
Took him over the top.
And they won the game.
They won the game. Oh, I'm sorry. I've completely forgot. They fucking lost.
Yeah, you know, both the Raptors and the Blazers, the underdogs in these series. I know that like the home team's just like protected home court.
Yeah.
And it's like now all we got to do is go home and win 2 on our own floor.
Yeah.
But they must feel a little bit like they had games that they could have taken.
I mean, the Trailblazers have to be kicking themselves,
yeah.
Right? Especially because when you think about the Warriors, and one of the reasons they've been so dominant is that they have been able to win games on the road in their playoff series.
Yes, they have right? won a road game in like 21 consecutive playoff series or something, which is a record.
Right. So if you're the number one seed and you win a road game in every single, you're going to be the champion every year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
Like
that's, unless you like really hork it on your home game.
Yeah, unless you are playing the Clippers and you go 1-2 on your home court.
Well, and this is what I noticed. Like
3-0 on the road.
Regular season for the Warriors, they were not great at home.
They didn't have that like same Oracle bonus, and maybe Oracle is slowly disintegrating.
Maybe that's where they're moving because exactly like this place doesn't have it anymore.
They don't have
it. I mean, they had a great. They were 30-11 at home, which is not great for them.
Yeah, I mean, in this, they were 41-1 at home 1 year.
Yeah,
right, or 40-2 or something crazy like that.
I was thinking about this. If I owned an NBA team,
yes,
I would tell my guys, look, this is the only goal I want for my team. It'd be great if we compete for championships. It'd be great, blah blah blah, all that stuff. But I don't want to create an organization where if we don't win the ring, we're a failure. However, my goal would like as a goal for us to win 30 of our home games every year.
That's a great goal. You know, the team's got to be good to do that. Because if you win 30 of your games a year, that's like a 70%
right
win rate.
But mostly I want my home fans, when they go to see our games, most of the time they're going to leave happy. That's why I bring it up.
You sound like a circus ringmaster.
Well, because I've noticed that like, the rush that, like, when we go to Lakers games, and, you know, it's very rare these days for them to win games, but, like, I think all the games I went to this year, the local team won.
Wow. You should go to more basketball games if we want those LA
sounds like I need
wins
to go to 41 games
that's
next
right
year. But, like, and so the feeling you get when you're at home and they win is like a visceral chemical feeling
yeah
that you have paid for.
Yeah.
And then you will pay for again.
Exactly.
So to be in Oracle when they went 41-1 must have just been like, I am making all the best decisions in life.
Yeah.
And I have chosen the correct team to root for.
And then you can increase season ticket costs
yeah
the next year.
Well, and like, I'd love to see just even like, what are merch sales like after a win versus after a loss?
I mean, do people buy merch on the way out of the stadium?
I bet some people do. The stores are still open.
That's so weird. I just want to leave immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like with kids, I bet like kids are like.
Maybe.
So anyway, Golden State has locked down their home court in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, except for against the Clippers.
Yeah. But they've been pretty like reliable in general.
And yeah, in general over history, yes, they've been a very good home team. There's two series where they've kind of let that slip, and the first one was this year against the Clippers, and the other one was 2016 against the Cavs.
So for the Blazers to be up, they were up 108-100
yeah
with like 4 minutes left.
You just can't let that go.
Yeah.
And they didn't score another point the whole game.
Yeah.
Right? That's absolutely crazy. It's so wild to me. That
they didn't even get to the line.
Nothing.
Which in game one they were getting to the line a lot.
Yeah. Fat lot of good it did them.
Yeah.
But
and Toronto also, by the way, the Raptors were up in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I mean, anytime you're up in the fourth on the road, like it's gotta feel like a squandered opportunity.
Yeah. you squander it, but also anytime you're at home down in the fourth, you get desperate.
Yeah.
So there's equal sharing in responsibilities between squandering and desperation grabbing.
Oh, so to my point about the Raptors not being like sort of together
yeah
as a team, I think that to the extent that they have made it this far in the playoffs, I do think a lot of it is just Kawhi's brilliance.
Yeah.
And then they're sort of trying to like put the plane together while it's in flight.
Yeah.
That again, in terms of consistency, maybe it's just harder. It probably is. This actually makes total sense. It's probably just harder to be a consistent low variance player if you're a guard.
Yeah.
But Kyle Lowry, I mean, actually his variance hasn't been that high.
No.
He's got one very good game and a bunch of mediocre games here in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Danny Green had a bad game.
Yes, he did. I mean, his play in the playoffs, besides that one game where they won basically by carrying Kawhi through a team win. I think that was game 5.
Yeah.
Danny Green has not played well and not shot well.
Yeah. Now, and Siakam is, to me, is just like, he's young. I don't know. I think anything you get from Siakam right now is gravy.
Yeah. And he didn't look scared in game one like he looked in game seven. Like, yeah. He shot the ball. He was there. He was active. He wasn't good.
Right.
But he was there.
Meanwhile, you got a great game from Brook Lopez.
Oh, my goodness. And he started cold. So, like, imagine how hot he was at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He was basically like 0 for 5 from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Right. So, 12 for 16 yeah. after his, like, really, you know, slow shooting start.
Yeah. I would love to see Brook Lopez in the finals. Like, I just, those guys seem like good guys.
No matter what happens, there's going to be a Laker in the finals. That's the, just the truth.
That's true. Although I would also like to see Marc Gasol and Jeremy Lin in the finals.
Marc Gasol, Jeremy Lin, Lakers. Oh,
you know what's funny? Is last episode, I was like, why don't they play Jeremy Lin? He can do what Fred VanVleet does.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was tapping into a like pretty like large group of fans saying the same thing.
Yes.
Because Fred VanVleet's line in game two was 1 for 4 for 2 points and 2 assists.
Yeah.
And it's like, it does seem odd. I know that Jeremy Lin might not fit with the system. He's brand new. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know the guys. Blah, blah, blah. But Jeremy Lin can give you 2 points.
Oh, yeah.
And 2 assists.
Definitely.
He can probably give you more than that. So at least try it. I don't know.
And don't forget, on the Warriors, Andrew Bogut is a Laker.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, and there's no chance that Portland's going to go to the finals, and they don't have any former Lakers on their team.
They really don't?
They really don't.
Oh. So Milwaukee has
Brooke.
And the Raptors have Jeremy Lin.
And Marc Gasol, who was drafted by the Warriors.
Right.
Or drafted by the Lakers, don't forget.
And then traded for Kobe?
Pau Gasol.
Oh, for Pau. Yeah. Oh, that's when he came into the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. So how much younger is he than Pau?
He's like 4 or 5 years younger than Pau.
Hmm.
He maybe a little younger than that.
Yeah. But. It was Vlade Divac that was traded to Charlotte.
For the Kobe pick.
Meanwhile, Pat Connaughton getting very little run.
Ah, so sad. You know, we were really rooting for old.
Yeah, was it just like we'll put him into games because he's got a lot of family in Boston?
No, it was that Malcolm Brogdon wasn't back.
Yes.
Right, and Malcolm Brogdon is really fucking good.
Rookie of the year.
The what do they call him? The general, the captain, the I don't know. They call him something. Right? He's like whatever. You know why he's really good? Do you know why Malcolm Brogdon is good?
Why?
Because he can shoot the fucking ball.
Yeah,
he's so good at making shots, and he hasn't played for a month and a half, 2 months.
It's so weird that in 2019 there are still like professional basketball players that are not good at shooting baskets.
There's more,
and that it's a like rare skill.
Listen. Kendrick Perkins was really good because all he could do was plant his big old butt in the paint, and they never lost with all five of them. Okay, you don't need to be good at shooting to play basketball.
Well, I would point to someone like Jerome Kersey from back in the day,
ooh,
who I would say did similar things on the court for the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah,
but also had like a pretty rock solid elbow jumper.
He could shoot the rock.
That would just like
a little Jermaine O'Neal,
your Karl Malone. Have these four games that we've watched changed any of your thoughts? Three?
Yeah, the game two in the Toronto-Milwaukee is tonight.
Oh, that was game one.
Yeah.
Have they changed any of your thoughts about?
No, I mean, I think both of them have
that's funny. Made I thought more... Toronto was down 0-2 already.
No, they're down 0-1.
That's second, how bad that tonight. Devastating that loss was.
Yeah, yes.
It has not. You're saying it hasn't changed your thoughts?
No, yeah. After these three games, I think I feel exactly the same. I'm going to stick with my predictions, and I'm ready to go.
I do think that a Milwaukee, if things go the way we think they're going to go, you know what? I'm going to call it tonight. The Raptors are going to win tonight.
Ooh, okay. I don't think so. I think
this is what I think is going to happen. Lowry is going to have a 20-point game.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, this is all I really want him to do, besides go to practice, is just, you don't have to have a 30-point game one time and then a 6-point game the next time. if you could just come out and do 18 to 20, like 80% of the time, get like 7 or 8 assists, get like 3 or 4 rebounds.
Yeah.
I would take that.
Yes.
Of course, that would probably make you an all-star as a point guard or something like that.
But Kyle Lowry is an all-star.
Right.
As a point guard.
He should play to the level that he has received accolades for.
Are you familiar with the idea of clustering in baseball?
Statistical clustering, yes.
Yeah. So in baseball, it's not a skill, right? Because you have 9 different guys who go up to bat, and the clustering that you get is all luck, right?
Yes. You mean within the team or within the individual person?
Within the team and your performance as a team.
Right.
Right. That clustering is luck. And that the better your clustering is, the better your team does over the year because you score more runs.
Right.
Because
if you are all going to get singles, you want to get 6 in a row.
Correct.
As opposed to like distributed with 3 outs in between each one.
Exactly. Exactly. So in basketball, clustering on a game-to-game basis is a skill. It's a skill to not have a down game.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And having those consistent games is something that you can actually get better at. Like, everybody's going to have a down game here or there. But you look at the variance in a player's games and game scores and all that stuff as they go on. And the people who are the most consistent and good performers are the better players. The people who have more variance are not going to be the players you want.
And also, you know who tends to have more variance? People that don't take practice seriously.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, it's. I don't think that's a controversial thought.
I'm just excited to be on this podcast, Rule of Practice, with Chris Grace.
The reason it struck me so, like, that has stuck with me so much is I never thought of him as a player like that.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought he was kind of like
grit and grinder.
Yeah, kind
Memphis
of.
Memphis to Houston to Toronto.
I kind of thought he'd be a person that would be the... And honestly, you kind of... The way most people think about the mentality of teams, you kind of want the point guard to be the guy that's like the professional one.
Yeah, because he touched ball most, and ball professional touch make good basketball.
Yes, as Bizarro would say. But it's odd for someone that it will eventually be so dominant of the flow of the game to not take practice seriously.
So here's the interesting thing, right? Practice. He doesn't take it seriously, but maybe he takes like game tape and prep seriously. Like, I don't think that counts in what he's talking about as practice, right? There's a mental aspect to being guard,
right?
That I think that Kyle Lowry doesn't feel like he's deficient on, and practice can sometimes be something that makes you exert the finite amount of energy he may feel that he has, or the amount of time he has to get not injured. Like, I don't really want to defend not practicing hard, but I do kind of want to like poke back and say there is a way to prepare for basketball games without practice, especially being a 32 or 33 year old point guard.
Yes, for sure. But I think that one, that's an easier argument to make from a point of having succeeded at things, including Iverson. And two, if it gets to a point that your coach asks 2 brand new players to have a private sit down with you to talk about your practice habits.
Yeah.
2 guys that are brand new to the organization, and the only reason he's asking them is because they're from the Spurs.
Yeah, and that I don't disagree with you that it's not a good sign, but I think there are more ways to prep than just like going to a practice and doing practice.
Well,
stuff.
So I guess what I'm saying is like in the practice, he doesn't have to physically exert himself, but like it's clear that like in a practice you're trying to establish some team habits.
Yeah.
And if you're most veteran and after DeMar left, you're sort of like marquee, like you're the soul of the franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a problem with it, and I know at least one of the person that had a problem with it, which was the head coach.
Yeah.
So like if the head coach has an issue with how you're behaving in the head coach's practices, then like, yes, I do think that like, I'm sure that, you know, like during the regular season, how much do they practice at all? Probably
like once a week, twice a week.
Yeah. So, but if in that one practice you are kind of phoning it in.
Yeah. If you're not paying attention during the like important strategical parts of practice, if you're like not paying attention or you're like goofing around. Yeah. That's definitely very shitty. And I mean, I'm making this point on behalf of Kyle Lowry. I don't know if he actually watches a bunch of tape or what he does.
Yeah.
Like, I will admit that I don't know if this is true, but he could be doing that. And truly, I sound like the worst arguer in the world.
I should watch that Green Room interview that he did, because I they treated it as so much of like an obvious, like, I don't know. I always, not bristle, but I'm always suspicious when professional athletes say things like, you know, when it comes to the game time, like, I know what to do. And it's like,
yeah, because we've all said that before.
But it's also like,
no, I don't want to do the work to do the work.
And also demonstrably, Kyle Lowry, you have not.
Yeah.
And similar to Kyrie saying, like, I'm a genius at basketball. Similar to Russell Westbrook saying, like, I'm pretty sure I can do things on the court that no one else can do, because if they could, they would, after he got, like, booted out of the playoffs. Yes. It's like, yeah, I mean, I guess people, Kyrie, like, I guess people can shoot 8 for 22, 7 for 22, 6 for 21. But, like,
I love that you have the degradation of Kyrie's shot
yeah.
memorized. That makes me so happy.
That always just
can't
makes
wait for
me,
him to be a Laker this year.
Oh, my God. I mean, they might as well just go whole hog, get fire Vogel, get Ty Lue, sign him a 5-year contract, add Kyrie, get Kevin Love, just do Cavs West.
Cavs West!
And then, you know,
Cavs best.
The worse it gets, the more likely I can get some season tickets.
I've already got 2 Cavs LeBron jerseys. Let's do this.
Okay, thing. Also, do you want the Jekyll and Hyde Blazers Warriors jersey that Del Curry wore to the game?
I would absolutely wear that jersey.
I would like to see them do it across the front.
Yeah, but the number's cool. Not the same.
I would like to see them figure out some. How different are the numbers?
I think, if I recall, Curry's like 20.
Is the first digit the same?
Let me check. I'm checking.
Or why isn't Nike or Adidas why isn't Under Armour, or who actually makes the official jerseys right now?
Nike.
So why isn't Nike, you know, they're probably not doing this because Steph is an Under Armour guy.
Seth is 31 and Steph is 30. So they could
have a 3 on the front.
And a, yeah.
And whatever. So if they were both Nike athletes,
yeah,
I guarantee you would see a kick-ass, not like 2 jerseys cut together,
yeah,
but like something very cool.
I don't know. And I think part of the reason that I don't know about that is that the branding that teams have, I think, is over what Nike has.
I think that's probably true.
And I don't know if the Blazers and Warriors would want to collab on a jersey.
I think that's probably true, except that I think Adam Silver would be like, this would be fucking cool.
Yeah.
This is a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Where it's not going to be a habit that we're going to overrun your corporate identity and, like, it with somebody else's.
Yeah.
And you just need to get, what's his name, Joe Lacob and whoever owns...
The ghost of Paul Allen?
I guess.
Yeah.
To agree to it.
Get them in the room.
And also,
get that Ouija board out.
They'll be like, you can make an extra $500,000 if we do this.
Yeah.
But he's not a Nike athlete. He's an Under Armour athlete.
So Steph's an Under Armour. I would imagine Seth is too. It doesn't matter. And like, he's not good enough to get a deal.
And I know from firsthand experience that in the world of like the Pacific Northwest,
yeah,
there is a very bitter hostility between those two companies that, like, I think for us, the rest of the country, we're just kind of like, Nike's okay. I like Under Armour stuff. They fucking hate each other.
They do.
One of my friends, her husband works for Nike.
Yeah.
I might have told you this. And yes. She wore Under Armour like to walk their dog or something.
Yeah.
And they ran into work friends and she was wearing like Under Armour shoes or like an Under Armour like fitness top or whatever.
Yeah.
And he got like not in trouble, but like it was not cool.
Yeah.
That she was in public, not like at a Nike function.
Yeah, just
in her own regular life wearing Under Armour.
Yeah, I mean, but what city were they in? Were they in...
They're in Portland.
They were in Portland?
Yes.
You know, Nike owns Portland?
Well, yeah.
They bought the whole city of Portland the other day. So that's part of it. And if you're in King Nike's land, you have to wear King Nike shoes.
I mean, my niece
Queen
is now...
Nike?
My niece Queen is going Nike. To the University of Oregon.
Oh, congrats. So.
Which I believe is also a Nike.
Yes, it is absolutely
university.
Nike University.
So anyway, I just want to see a cool jersey.
Yeah, I always want to see a cool jersey.
Like some cool, like, pixelated remix.
Ooh. Or you could get one that has, like, the percentage of points scored in the career. Like since Steph has, like, 20,000 points and Seth has, like, 400 points, you get, like, a percentage of the
I was going to say 2,000 for okay. Seth.
Seth probably has 1,200 points in his career. That's my guess.
1,200. Let's look at what about...
And Seth has... Steph has 14,000.
When are people going to start integrating... like JPEG compression artifacts into like physical real life designs.
Ooh,
like a jersey that has just like the stuff you see on like in video land when you're like looking at a video.
Yes, I want that.
Okay, career points for Steph Curry. What was your guess?
14,000.
16,300.
Not too far off.
For Seth Curry. He has had 1,780.
Oh, I was under on both.
The most he had was in Dallas.
Yes, he had a good year that year.
Yeah. You got any shows coming up?
I do. Next week, we got Tuesday and Wednesday. Bitchcoin's playing back-to-back 3-on-3 improv tournaments.
Oh, that's right.
So we're doing UCB.
Not the same tournament?
Not the same tournament. UCB 3-on-3 tournament on Tuesday. Tuffy the Bears 3-on-3 tournament in Burbank at the LA Connection on Wednesday night.
Very cool.
So shout outs. I saw our buddy Johnny who came to the game with us.
Uh-huh.
And he had his UCB 301 show.
Ooh.
So I want to say congrats to him for completing UCB 301.
Yes.
Nice work.
Soon you will be on SNL.
Yeah. Yes, that's what they tell you at UCB.
I have Baby Wants Candy tonight. This episode will probably come out before then.
Yeah.
And then next week we're starting rehearsals for Thrones, the musical parody, going back to Australia. If you're in Sydney, Australia in the month of June, please come see us. We're at this, a little black box theater called the Sydney Opera House.
And I can confirm... It's a good show. I saw it before they went to Melbourne last time.
Was Adelaide.
To Adelaide. Very fun show. I don't know if the cast is going to be similar.
Similar. The shows are going to be longer because we have to have an intermission.
Ah.
And I have no idea really how it's possible that something I wrote is performing at the Sydney Opera House. That's very odd.
Awesome.
After like last year when I did improv at the Kennedy Center. This is very strange. And then just heads up for later in the year, in August, Thrones will be at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I'm producing Voldemort and the Teenage Hogwarts musical parody, which is a delightful show. That'll be in Scotland in August. And I'm also producing my friend John Accardo's magic show, John Accardo Method to the Magic. That will be very funny as well.
That's right.
That's every day at 1:30 in Scotland. I just want to give a little heads up just so everyone can purchase their tickets to Edinburgh, Scotland.
Yes.
Now.
Get in there. Get excited. We want you to go. If you're in Edinburgh, and trust us, you know about us in Edinburgh because we flyered the hell out of our stuff. Oh, no, that was Orlando.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, we were added on in Orlando because that makes sense.
When I produced... Thrones in the Orlando Fringe, we put an ad in for the podcast.
Yes. Okay, great. I had it exactly right the whole time. I got to talk about our podcast on another podcast I did.
Oh, recently. What was that?
I did a podcast called Critique of the Moving Image with Baron Schwarzkopf.
Ooh.
Where I hung out with a vampire who has only ever seen 10 movies in his life, and we talked about Billy Elliot.
Is Billy Elliot one of the 10?
Yes, yeah, because he just woke up from, I don't know, he just hasn't seen movies because he's a vampire or whatever.
Cool.
Yeah, it was very wild. And, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, masculinity and what it means to be a man in today's era.
Ooh.
It's an interesting...
Did you solve that riddle?
The riddle can never be solved because being a man is not one thing. It's many things.
To me, it's wearing flannel and chopping wood.
Chopping wood, baby!
We'll see you next time. Have a great week. We'll probably be back on Monday because we got games for the weekend to talk about.
That's right.
Bye.
Bye.